This is the Shyster, and the blues are back each and every Friday right here on 89.3. That's right, the blues are back. Join me for the Friday Night Blues Show. Well, I do my part to keep the blues alive up in the Motor City from 8 to 10 p.m. on the only station making waves, 89.3 WHFR, and online at WHFR.fm.
We've been talking to people about the work being done at Child Fund, an international organization devoted to helping children living in poverty. Here's what they had to say.
Child Fund is there. They've been there for 70 years.
I love the work that they do by building a school where girls can get an education and not have to be married off at such a young age. It's amazing that Child Fund is caring in that way.
They always seem to be looking for a long-term solution.
Visit childfund.org. Child Fund. Innovative solutions. One child at a time.
Hi, this is Amy Milan from STARS, and you're listening to WHFR 89.3 in Dearborn, Michigan, the station making waves.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn. Good afternoon. This is Betty L. Daniels, and you are listening to a pre-recorded program of Impact.
The 5101 Restaurant is Henry Ford Community College's innovative on-campus dining experience. The restaurant is operated by students and staff of HFCC's Hospitality Studies program and offers a learning experience for the students combined with a delicious and affordable meal for you. The 5101 is open Tuesday through Thursday from 11:15 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Wednesday and Thursday evenings from 6 p.m. to 7:45. Reservations are suggested and can be made at 313-206-5101. That's 313-206-5101. See you soon at HFCC's 5101 Restaurant.
Welcome to the new Impact, presented every month on the fourth Tuesday on WHFR Dearborn, making waves on 89.3 FM.
Have you ever said, and thought, I didn't know that? Or, that's a different point of view?
Every fourth Tuesday, 89.3 listeners will have the opportunity to learn about the many organizations and people who are doing things for Dearborn and the Tri-County communities in Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb.
Impact is devoted entirely to the issues of interest to the 89.3 listeners.
Impact is part of WHFR's weekly talk show format, presented every Tuesday from 1 until 2 p.m., making waves from Henry Ford Community College radio station, broadcasting on 89.3 FM from Dearborn, Michigan.
Please tune in, and you might find yourself saying...
September was Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. And so during the show, we're going to look at some of the different ways that people are investing their efforts to address the areas and concerns and all the different ramifications that have to go with the pediatric cancer and how it affects the children as well as their families.
When a family gets the news that their child has a brain tumor, their world changes forever.
I was 7 whenever it first happened, and they decided that I needed to go into surgery right away.
We went to bed that night with a normal child who smiles and laughs and kisses you goodnight and tells you I love you, and we wake up with our child's health deteriorating by the minute. The emotion is so overwhelming and so devastating. You know, you feel like your world is just crashing down around you.
As a father, you want to do something to be able to help your child. And at that point in time, you're not the surgeon. You just have to wait to see kind of what happens. You're scared to death.
Every day in the United States, 11 more children are diagnosed with a brain tumor. Many of them will not survive beyond 5 years. The remaining children are faced with the possibility of having lifelong side effects of their treatment.
When I speak to a family where their child is newly diagnosed with a brain tumor, almost instantaneously they begin a roller coaster ride that they wish they never embarked upon. The ups and downs are staggering. They go through treatments They have their MRI scans every 2 or 3 months. They wait for the results of the MRI scans. They're always on edge wondering if their child's tumor is coming back or not. They wonder what their child's future is going to look like, how many birthday parties they're going to have, how many dance recitals, music lessons they'll be able to go through before their disease slowly takes over their body and their brain.
The Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation is here to help. We give families the tools they need to learn more about this disease, and we give researchers the funds they need to find a cure.
We have funded over 50 research institutions in North America, in Australia, and in Europe. So we have reached out across the world to fund research for pediatric brain tumors. We created Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation Institutes to bring researchers together and collaborate with each other so that they can work with one another to fast forward our understanding of this disease.
What really sets the stage for proper and adequate collaborations is something like the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation Institutes program, because the scientists are encouraged to share their data, to collaborate, to synergize with their scientific research studies so that the field moves along at a faster pace. Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation has been absolutely critical to the success of international research and science.
That goal is, of course, to learn about the disease, but we emphasize to all of our researchers, we don't want to stop there. What we want you to do is to take those discoveries and begin to translate those into new treatments for children.
Having a brain tumor is different than having, say, breast cancer, because a lot of the times they have a lot of cures for that. Well, brain tumors, they don't, radiation and chemo, but sometimes that doesn't always work. So we really need to earn money for that so we can find a cure.
Research is essential, but so is family support. The Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation offers many resources to educate and inform families on their brain tumor journey.
Providing knowledge gives them power to fight this disease. Without it, they feel totally alone, as in a foreign land that they've never been a part of. It also helps them to become an advocate for their child, to be able to be a part of the treatment team that will be a part of what happens to their child.
You don't even know what questions to ask. And I did find information from the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation regarding the different types of tumors and what the treatment options were and what the late effects are of some of those treatment options. Radiation causes cancer, can cause learning deficits, it can cause physical deficits.
A brain tumor diagnosis can also cause financial turmoil, quickly depleting college savings. The Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation helps by giving scholarships to brain tumor survivors.
We started this program back in 2002. We were very delighted to be able to fund a scholarship for one survivor at that time. As the time has passed now, we're beginning to see more survivors of this disease, which tells us that we're having success in extending the lives of these children.
Many children are living longer, more productive lives, but there is still work to be done.
We know that even of those that do survive beyond 5 years, unfortunately, there's a chance that that brain tumor may come back and they will have to deal with it again. So survivorship is a wonderful thing, but we also know that we never need to take it for granted and that we have to keep working to fight this disease.
Please join our fight against childhood brain tumors. Call 800-253-6530 or visit pbtfus.org for more information and help save a child's life today.
And now we will hear a rebroadcast of the 2012 Impact Show with Lynn Grantz and the 2012 Ride for Kids.
Hi, welcome to Impact. This is a pre-recorded show, and the opinions voiced here on this particular show are not necessarily the opinions of WHFR nor Henry Ford Community College. We are meeting today with representatives from the Ride for Kids, Michigan Ride for Kids, part of the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation's support group, and what a wonderful group of people and what a wonderful cause. So we're going to have everybody introduce themselves, and we'll get started and talk about what the Ride for Kids is all about. So Get started.
I'm Dan Featheringill.
I'm Susan Featheringill, and we are going to be the task force leaders in 2012.
Ralph Hunt.
And I'm Jean Hunt. We are currently co-task force leaders for the Michigan Ride for Kids.
Okay, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about everything that's going on with this ride. And the ride is coming up on Sunday, the 28th.
And, that's correct.
Gosh, I'm excited. I'll be there. I'll be there registering, not knowing what I'm doing again, but it all worked out last year anyway. So
we always love volunteers.
tell us about the Michigan Ride for Kids. I understand this is the 20th anniversary of the Michigan Ride.
This is the 20th year. Ride has moved several times. It's been out in Washtenaw Community College, I think, for about 7 years now, somewhere around there. It's one of the least known rides, probably, because I didn't know about it until I started. Somebody walked up and said, "Hey, you know, you need to go on this ride." Next thing you know, I'm a task force leader. It's one of, I don't remember how many
40,
rides.
40,
one of 40, yes. Dan and I know that.
their goal is to go to every one of the rides.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
So far we've done 21 of the 40.
So we're halfway of the 40, okay. Right. And these occur during what time of the year? Is it just in the late summer or
We actually went to Florida in February last year. I had to trailer the bike down there, but... We did do South Florida and Valentine's Day.
It was on Valentine's Day.
Was it on Valentine's
Day? Mm-hmm. Okay. I told him I thought that would be a nice Valentine's gift, so we went down there for Valentine's Day. So.
Wow. How long has the ride been going on? Not the Michigan, we know the Michigan portion is 20 years, but how long has the ride itself been?
I think this is the 28th year.
Yeah, the first ride was in, the foundation started in 1984. It started.
Okay.
And at that time, there were, 100 participants, and they raised $4,000.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And last year, Michigan was over 60, as I recall.
Right.
$60,000 in one day, which is incredibly impressive. But it's all about the kids. Tell us what got you into the ride. How did you get involved with volunteering and riding? And
actually, my daughter and I rode on our first ride, and I think it was... Michigan's first ride.
But second? They told us it wasn't. No, it was we thought it was.
It was their maybe second or third ride.
Okay.
And I don't know, we've been doing it on and off ever since then. And actually joined the task force a couple of years ago. And
how did your daughter find out about it?
Actually, I found out about it.
You found out about it.
And that was a long time ago.
It was at the fairgrounds at Wayne County.
Okay.
And so it was near our house.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just saw a sign on the road or something, and he went, we should go to this. And so, and my daughter loves to ride on the back of the motorcycle with her dad, and so she was young at the time, and she went, let's do this. And so the two of them went, and they had a ball and said, this is really a good thing. Yeah. And anybody that has gone, once you've gone and you've listened to the stars, and we call the kids our stars, mm-hmm. that we're there for. Once you hear them talk and you hear their parents, you're just kind of like sucked in, and you know that that's a good cause and something that you want to do. So,
let's talk about the kids. I mean, it is all about the kids. This is what it's all about. Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. How did the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation get connected with Ride for Kids? A bunch of bikers raising money to help kids who have a horrible disease, a horrible situation.
Well, the Ride for Kids actually started before the foundation came into existence.
Okay.
Basically, Mike Trainer, who was the founder of the Ride for Kids, formed the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation in 1992. The foundation's is supported by the Ride for Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, almost all of their funding comes from what we do.
Okay.
Around the country with all the different rides that we do. There are other fundraising activities done, but this is the bulk of what they have for it. And it's funding. It's turned into a The foundation does funding now for research. That's their biggest, what the money's used for is for mm-hmm. research mostly.
Right, right.
They fund quite a bit of research with Duke University. And there's several other university foundations that are supported by it. And any of the research that, any of the developments that come out of this research is shared. Unlike a lot of places that do research, they hold on to it and they have a patent and they turn it into a profit. The goal with the foundation is to share the research. So when they have they grant somebody a research grant, they have to sign and say they will share this with everybody else. The goal here is to find a cure for the brain tumor and not to, oh, I've got this thing, you can't have it.
Right.
That's one of the things that Dan and I especially like, is because that they're willing to share the information, and they won't, and like Ralph said, they won't give the information or give the grant funds to anyone unless they're willing to share that information, and that's what it's all about.
Do you feel like we're making progress?
It's come a long way. Just it's so far. I mean, the kids now have a better chance of survival than they did even 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it advances every year. It's, you know, hopefully my goal is to never have to do this ride. That's basically where we're at with
sure.
it. I mean, I love riding my motorcycle, but I don't want to do this ride anymore.
Right.
I mean, that would be the greatest thing that ever happened. Yeah. Guess what? We don't need to do this anymore.
Right, right.
This is solved.
How do the kids get connected with these various hospitals and research institutes?
That's always a gray area.
Okay.
The part of the thing here is because of the patient privacy. We're not even, I mean, if someone comes up to us and says, you know, I mean, we have this family, we're not supposed to even deal with that. We have to tell them to go through their hospital. Most of the hospitals have connections to the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. Okay. At least they're supposed to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our stars that'll be out there at the ride on Sunday have been referred that way.
Okay.
Or they've heard about it from someone else. I mean, a lot of these families are very tight. They all share the same experience because they all have children that have or are recovering from brain tumors. So they get very tight as a community, and they pass it back and forth. The hospitals do have the information available to them. So when a child is diagnosed, like at Children's or Mott, There is information there if they choose to do it. It's kind of a funny area. I mean, it's like we're not supposed to say anything about it, but, you know.
Got it. Okay, I want to talk about the stars, so let's take a little break for some music, and we'll be back and talk about some of these great kids. And we're back. Let's talk about the stars. And they are stars in
yeah.
their own right, absolutely. How many kids are we expecting to be there this year? Do we have any idea?
We know right now that there's at least four or five families that have confirmed that they are coming.
Okay.
And our ride is unusual because they can bring grandma, grandpa, brothers, and sisters, and we would try to get them all on a motorcycle, a sidecar, or the back of a two-wheel bike. We'll try to accommodate all of them so that they can ride with us.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. That is pretty exciting, because I think that's something different than a lot of charity events do, is that they don't give the extended family mm-hmm. that opportunity. But that's one of the things that the family is and the kids actually look forward to, that being able to get out there and, like, it might be their first and only experience that they get to ride on a motorcycle. So we try to offer that to anybody that we can.
And this is a family event. I mean,
definitely.
There is no way that child and parents are solo in this cause, in this fight. So, yeah, the extended family, the neighbors, I mean, I'm sure everybody, anybody who knows a child like that, it just has absolute feelings for them.
Yeah, we have one family that the grandparents are going to come. Grandpa's not going to ride, though, he says.
Okay.
we'll see about that. We're not sure about that yet.
And after the ride, we have a nice ceremony, mm-hmm. and the kids that want to, the stars that want to, actually get on stage and can talk and...
And it's really nice. It's nice for the riders to meet the kids.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. How do the kids interact with each other? Do they know each other? Is there like a support group for them that they're involved with other than just the ride or the ride time?
What we've witnessed is that these kids keep in touch, whether it's through the foundation or just on their own. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but they seem to keep in touch with each other. Mm-hmm. And they keep track of each other. I know on Facebook, a lot of them are on Facebook.
Oh,
and they keep
of course,
track that way,
of course, yeah.
Right, yeah, because the foundation does have that support for the families, so therefore also for the for the stars. And the one nice thing is during that celebration, and we call it a celebration of life, is what happens after the we're done with
this,
the ride.
Okay, so this is after the ride on the same day.
On the same Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yep. You come back from the ride, you grab a sack lunch, mm-hmm. And then get to listen to the stars. And one of the things that they do when they're talking to the kids, they don't talk to them about their illness. They talk to them about everything else that's going on in their life, so that this is not a time when you're going to ask them, anything about their brain tumors. This is to asking them about, like, what do you think you want to do, when you go to school in the fall, or what's your favorite subject, or you're right, all those kind of things.
The fun stuff.
Right.
And so they try to make sure that they gear it away from, this is something that the kids live with all the time, but you don't want to dwell on that. And so it's kind of a fun thing, and that's partially why they call it the celebration as well.
So they're kids, not patients.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
How many people do you think are going to show up as riders? Is there any expectation?
You never know. It depends on the weather.
Yes.
That's a big factor.
Yeah, we had 220 bikes last year.
I was there last year for the first time, and I have to tell you, it was one of those moments where it was life-changing to be part of that whole thing. But I remember watching the bikes leave for the 50-mile ride, and, you're hearing bikes and bikes and bikes and more bikes, and it took a long while for them to all get out there, and it was just such an incredible visual. And then you would see the kids. You'd see the kids, and, a lot of them with the bandanas because they don't have hair, and, it's just very, very meaningful.
Yeah, we always have the kids leading the ride.
Lead the ride.
Always. Mm-hmm. They're the first ones out. And then the next group after that, one of the things that we do is sort of like a little internal competition for fundraising.
Okay.
And this year, the Grey Group Dragons, which were the largest group that raised funds last year, will be right after the kids. So they get to... They're the first group out.
Okay.
And that's the way it works. It's like, okay, if you want to be the first group out, raise more money.
Okay.
it's sort of like an ego thing, but it works out pretty well.
It's motivation.
Yeah, it was one of the things.
Give them bragging rights for the year.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, one of the things that the foundation also supports, and I think we probably skipped over it a little bit, is they give out scholarships, which I think is wonderful. Because a lot of these families... By the time they're done paying for the medical costs, see, the foundation doesn't do the medical costs for the kids. They do support for the families, and they do, obviously the foundation funds research, but they do supply scholarships for the kids. And we've had quite a few of them. In fact, one young lady who was on this program last year and talked forever. she's a wonderful kid. She's not a kid anymore.
Right.
But she started as a kid. I mean, she was there at the first ride.
So. At the ride that Dan and our daughter went to, she was there.
Got a scholarship from the foundation.
I think she said she was 8 when she was diagnosed. And she's 30 this year, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've watched her grow up from that age. I guess part of the miracle for us is we've been doing the ride so long, we've watched some of the kids grow up. And we've been going down south for a couple of rides down there for a number of years and watching the kids grow up and knowing that without the research... they wouldn't have a chance,
Wow. That has to be gratifying, too, though, to actually. But that's what we were talking about earlier, is that we are making progress. The medical community is making progress, or you wouldn't be able to watch these great kids grow up.
Right.
So that is
and that's one
exciting.
Of the things that we said was a problem, but not a problem, is that kids are now surviving and able to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And so that now we do have to do that scholarship piece of the puzzle as well, which is a wonderful problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
If that would be the only problem that we had, that would be marvelous.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We love doing those things.
So the scholarships are going out to the kids and they're graduating from college. Where are they after that? Do they come back as participants for the ride, or are they supporting it now that they are, you know, a functioning member of society, so to speak?
Some do.
Mm-hmm.
I would say most of the kids, they show up.
We have a few kids that come back, kids that are out of college or in college that come, and they help us.
Mm-hmm.
They now volunteer and help us organize or put the ride together the day of the ride.
Really?
And,
wow.
I think that's great.
Very.
It's just fantastic.
Now, are they also sort of mentoring the little ones, the younger kids who are, I'm sure, terrified?
Yeah.
You know, somebody tells you you have a brain tumor. I don't think you have to be an adult to understand that. I think a child understands that this is serious business, and they are scared. And so people who have been there can come back and say, okay, I lived.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure our ride is one of the venues that gives them the opportunity to meet each other, even the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that they walk away making that connection just from being at our ride.
That is it's so exciting. It's exciting to see that we're making progress, because tumors, cancer, any of those words are just, they're terrifying in and of themselves.
And some of the treatments that they have to go through create side effects on their own.
Okay.
And sometimes they're lifelong side effects.
Really? Okay.
So some of the research is also going towards minimizing that, those effects.
Okay. Do you find that after a child has cleared the brain tumor, that some of these side effects require additional surgeries and other long-term serious kind of help?
Yes, and I think in addition to surgeries and other medical treatments, I think maybe even some physical therapy or possible,
okay.
you know, special type of education to help them to get up to speed.
Right, and while a lot of it is, all of it, I would presume, is the placement of wherever that mm-hmm. brain tumor, you know, hits, because obviously the brain is what controls every part
That's
of our
right.
bodies.
That's true.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a little break, and...
What's up? I'm Roland Sands, and I wanted to share with you something we put together for a great cause. My team and I designed and built Braveheart here for my friend Marisa and other children like her who are battling pediatric brain tumors. You can do your part by attending a Ride for Kids event, which raises funds for much-needed medical research. When you ride for kids, you'll have a great time and meet brave young heroes like Marisa. So join me, and let's support the kids.
Come ride with us!
For info on a Ride for Kids event near you, go to www.rideforkids.com.
The timing is good on that. And we're back. Thanks so much for listening to Impact right here on WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves. We are talking today with representatives from the Ride for Kids, and what a fun organization with a cause. I mean, it's a good thing that we're doing all this good stuff because it's fun and it's helping the kids, and it's a good way of getting past the horrors of finding out that your child's been diagnosed with a brain tumor. We were talking about the rides and the routes and that sort of thing, and we said how the kids get to ride with the bikers, and the extended family gets to ride with the bikers. That is really, really exciting. And then next in line, we have some of our high donors, whether it's clubs or individuals. And there's also a police presence through these rides.
Very, very much so. Mm-hmm. The police actually escort the ride. So this is like one of those fun times when bikers get to go through stop signs, stop lights, all those kind of things. So for 50 minutes, you are just riding behind police officers and not having to stop or anything. You do have to, like, make sure that, you know, watch for strange things happening. But other than that, you just get to go through all the lights and all those kind of things for, you know, the, for the 50 minutes. So that's kind of what you get to donate and do.
It's a little bit longer than 50 minutes.
More than 50 minutes.
I got kind of yelled at last year because it was longer than 50 minutes.
Well, it's a 50-mile ride, isn't it?
We're actually at 54 this year.
Okay.
54 miles?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so it'll be at least 54 minutes.
That's predicated upon if we do 60. I have yet to do 60 miles an hour on one of these.
It is hard when you're doing that parade-type lap.
It gets very... Yeah, it gets rubber bandy, but most riders know that. I expect that when I go on one of these because it's not everybody rides at the same pace.
Of course.
And the pace for this ride is set by the Washington Sheriff Department. They will tell you how fast you're going to go.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll get over 35.
So so we're riding 54 miles this year.
Yes.
Okay, and this is all pavement?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We have, for the people that don't want to do pavement, there is a dual sport element.
Okay. Do you want to explain that?
No.
None of us really know where the dual sport ride goes.
Okay.
There's a gentleman that's been doing the dual sport element of this for a number of years.
Okay. So, but
and he creates, right, he creates a map, and then we hand out a, so anybody that registers and says they want to do the dual sport piece of it, then we hand them the map, and then they get to go off and follow the map. So they don't get the police escorted, obviously, because they're doing the back road type thing.
Now,
so
is that approximately the same distance? Is that approximately 50 miles also, or we don't know
it,
that? Okay.
It feels that way because they seem to come back about the same time that the other ride comes.
Some of them.
Yeah, some of them.
And we have people that come back and do it year after year, so they must be having fun going out there and doing that. So, and we continue to have our ride as one of the two rides throughout the United States that has a dual sport.
There's only two. And there's one in Southern California that's in April. It's nothing but a dual sport ride.
Oh, okay.
In fact, at that one, they do everything at the beginning of the ride, the celebration of life. They give them a light breakfast.
I think they pack them a sack lunch.
Yeah,
to take on the ride.
So, and then it's like, see ya.
Okay.
And
so when you're done, you're done.
You're done.
It's all different.
Yeah. Because they go out, they go heading off into the desert.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. We're one of the only ones. There's only two that do the dual ride like that. Actually, the dual ride is, I should not say that. The one in California is only a dual sport ride. They don't have a road ride element like we do.
Okay.
So we're kind of unique here.
Okay.
We're one of the few that do this.
And this is Michigan, and Michigan is beautiful this time of year with all the green and
everything.
The route this year, hopefully people, I mean, we did this route a few years ago, and we're doing it backwards, so it doesn't seem like the same route.
Okay.
A little tricky. But it is one of the nicer rides that we've come up with. And we go through Washtenaw County basically because that's where our main support is for the police.
Sure.
They never said we couldn't cross the border, but we've never pushed it either.
Okay, got it. You were talking about the ride in California. So, obviously, the terrain, the temperatures, I mean, this country is very varied. Can you, maybe you guys could tell me a little bit about, you were riding in Florida, you said.
Yeah, the year we were in Florida, it was, I think the morning of the ride when we left to go to it, it was 38 degrees. And
In Florida, it was
42 when the ride, when we left to go on the ride.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the year they had frost warnings in Orlando. And, was a little bit chilly down there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could have done that here.
Yeah. that's kind of what they told us, you know, like, all right, why did you bring the weather with you?
But they were glad to see people from Michigan at their ride, but we could have left the weather up this way.
Are there rides in all states?
No.
No.
Okay.
There are only 40 rides throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. Back in 2008, I retired. And I said to my husband, I think it would be fun to do all 37 of the rides throughout the United States for Ride for Kids. Okay. And so I said that. We agreed that that's what they were going to do. The schedule came out, and there were now not 37 rides, but there were 38. So since, and as you've heard earlier mentioned, that there's now 40,
right.
They have now added right. up to 40, so that we've had to continue to add a few additional rides. So it's also made it a challenge for us. So we've decided that we'd like to go to those inaugural
okay.
rides. Because
sure.
one of the things that you can do when you come to the ride, you can, when you donate your funds, if you donate a little bit more, you can get a T-shirt.
Okay.
And so we donate enough so that we can get a T-shirt. We have a large stack of T-shirts. In fact, I think that's about all Dan wears is Ride for Kids T-shirts. And they're all different cities. But they say on them, like first annual, second annual, whatever that they are.
Okay.
So we like to get those inaugural T-shirts so that they say first annual. So then we can
okay.
figure that we can, I'm not sure what we're going to do with them besides wear them, but we're having
last
fun.
Last year we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma for their inaugural
okay.
ride. And Honda actually gives away a motorcycle at each ride.
Mm-hmm.
And we won the motorcycle in Tulsa, Oklahoma on their
okay.
inaugural ride. So.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, so that was pretty exciting.
Yeah. So you've been in the South, and where else?
Oh, this year we were down in Franklin, Tennessee, and Middle Tennessee, and went out to Colorado last year for their ride.
Okay.
So we've basically covered everything from the Rockies this way.
Wow.
This year we're going out for Philadelphia and their ride and the Washington, D.C. ride.
Okay. Now, places like Tennessee strike me as, you know, hilly.
Yeah, Franklin, the Middle Tennessee ride, it's called. Part of the ride takes you down the Natchez Trace Parkway. And it is just a beautiful ride to see a line of a couple hundred bikes going down the Natchez Trace Parkway. It's,
wow.
It's one of the prettier rides.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Middle Tennessee ride, or the Knoxville, Tennessee ride, they have some twisty, turny, narrow roads that are just fun on a motorcycle.
Yeah, right.
And you're awful glad there's a police escort because they pull the traffic off the road. So I don't know how we'd get through some of those roads without a police escort.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Challenging.
It is.
But a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. It is.
Yeah, what's the worst weather condition you had, or was the Florida experience the worst when they had the?
No, because it was just cold.
Yeah.
And you can handle that.
Cold is okay. We just wore layers.
Knoxville actually changed their ride because the weather got so bad a couple of years. I think it was 2 years ago we went down there, and
it was in October.
Yeah, the ride used to be in October, and when we rode down and got partway down Friday night, and we got up Saturday morning, and it was 31 degrees. So I told Sue we'd go get breakfast. So it warmed up. It was 33 when we got on the road.
Oh, okay.
And it actually warmed up to, I think, 41 that day in Knoxville. So, yeah, I think the next year they decided to move the ride to a different date because the weather was just getting too, you know, too iffy.
Have you gotten rained out? Or gone through rain?
Yeah, we were in Colorado last year, and we were supposed to go up on the Front Range ride, but actually there was too much rain and snow and ice on the roads up there, so they had to stay down in the lowlands down around Colorado Spring, or down around Boulder, rather,
okay.
because it was just too unsafe to take us up anywhere else.
And they actually shortened that ride. It was June.
Really?
Yeah, it was June.
Wow.
And that was the only ride that we've ever been on that they've actually shortened because of the weather. When we were in Knoxville, they actually delayed the ride an hour because of fog. But I don't think we've ever had a ride canceled because of weather.
Mm-hmm.
It continues on. I mean, we're bikers, and, you know, bikers travel in all kinds of weather. You just have to be prepared for it. Usually when we stop and put on the rain gear, I usually tell people, this is why you buy, you know, nice rain gear, and if you never get to wear it, how do you know if it works or not? So, might as well use it.
We're hoping for good weather this year for our ride.
Yes. It does make the ride And the number of participants much better when it's sunny out. So that does make it nice, because we were in Hudson Valley, New York, a couple weekends ago, and it was raining, looked really bad. I had a cousin that lives in New Jersey that was about an hour away from where he lives, and he was going to come for the ride and got up and saw the weather, and he said, I'm not coming. I'll come to a different ride instead. So he and his friend ended up not coming. The number of participants was very small, but they had done a lot of fundraising ahead of time, and so they were up near over $100,000 that they collected, and they only had, I don't know, maybe 100 bikes.
Yeah, less than 100 bikes.
If even that many, but they did a lot of fundraising ahead of time. So those are always some, nice things, So anybody that's interested, I know Jean has some website information and Facebook information. Mm-hmm. She can.
Yes.
And we'll get to that when we come back. We're going to take a little break for some more music, and we'll be right back. Okay, Jean, tell us about the website info.
First of all, our Michigan Ride for Kids has a Facebook page, so if you need any information or would like to just check it out, you're more than welcome. And then to hear more about the organization or to hear more about Ride for Kids, there's a website called rideforkids.org.
Okay. All one word, rideforkids.org. Mm-hmm. Easy enough. And then now is that the national organization at that point?
Yes.
And so there's a link over to Michigan?
Yes.
We can find out more about
right.
the Michigan activities? Okay.
Yes.
Terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because it lists all the rides, mm-hmm. and then it has like a calendar of events, and it will list Michigan, and then you can click from there to Michigan, and then you can actually see our whole pamphlet and all the information about it.
Okay. And our Michigan Facebook page does, we try to put on there any other fundraisers we might have going on throughout the year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything coming up after the ride? Because the ride is this coming Sunday. So anything coming up after that? Or
Right now we don't have anything planned after.
Okay.
But I'm soon we will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the ride takes place at Washtenaw Community College. Talk about that facility a little bit.
That's awesome. Because it's a loop ride, so it begins and ends at Washtenaw Community College. They have indoor toilets for us to use, mm-hmm. which makes it really nice. There's a nice stage mm-hmm. that we set up for the ceremony of life. We also serve a light breakfast and a lunch. The light breakfast will be there when you come to register. And then we stage the bikes right there. And then there's a bag lunch when you come back that we offer.
And anybody with a bike can ride, or how does that work?
Yes.
Anybody with a, as long as it's legal for the street,
mm-hmm.
Come on.
Everybody's
right. Right.
And then if you do have a trike or a sidecar or a two-wheel with a seat on the back, you can come and register to ride one of the stars or their family members. But we do a little inspection to make sure the bike is in pretty good shape and,
And the time, place, map, et cetera, that's all available on the website?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, registration starts at 8.
Okay.
And so, anytime after 8, you want to get there. You want to make sure that you're there probably at least by 9:45.
Okay.
We have a riders meeting, and at that riders meeting, then they'll explain to you how you're supposed to stick together, watch for, cars breaking into the pack, paying attention to the police, all those kind of things. So that's really important that everybody's there, registered, and ready to listen to the riders meeting. Mm-hmm. I know in past years we've had some people that said, oh, the ride was supposed to start at 10:30. I thought that's when I showed up in the parking lot. And no, we really want you there earlier. And it's fun to come even at 8 o'clock and be there, and then you get to see all the other motorcycles that are participating, and it's kind of fun to walk through and see everybody's rides and see what everybody has and those kind of things. So it's just a fun day.
Mm-hmm. And I think some of the stars are out there, too, even early in the morning, as I recall. So,
yes.
And that's, again, inspiring because that's what it's all about. It's for the kids.
Yes, they do have lots of fun. I know when my husband and I, we've gone to the Tennessee ride a couple times, and one of the stars down there, we've talked to her many times, and her mom, and we took her a little stuffed animal this year. It was in the shape of a deer, and it said Michigan on it. And so we took it down there to her, and I think we were there last year as well. But she seemed much shorter and much more like a little girl. And when we saw her from a distance, we're going like, all right, we're not sure that she's really going to want a little stuffed animal. She looked like she had really grown up over the year. And we saw her grandmother, and her grandmother said, no, I think she'd still like that. Well, we handed that to her because we told her that that was our Michigan connection. And so we wanted to share something with her so that she'd remember Michigan. And we're hoping that maybe she'll might be able to travel up here and visit our ride one of these days. But she just absolutely loved the deer that we gave her, and shared it with all of the other stars, and went around, and we went like, all right, we should have brought several of them for all of the kids, but she was nice, you know, to be able to share with the other kids, so right, it was fun. Right.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to get out there? Anything else we haven't covered? Volunteers, we haven't covered volunteers.
Yes, that's my job this year, is to do volunteers. And what am I thinking? Yes, we can use lots of volunteers. We have, and this is a one of those things that even non-motorcyclists can volunteer for. So it's nice to have people that don't want to ride that can stay back and help us, you know, make sure that those lunches are ready for mm-hmm. the motorcyclists when they get back. But we are going to have training for those volunteers on Thursday night at Washtenaw Community College and on Saturday. So one or the other. So anybody that's interested, and I think if they go to the Facebook page and just let us know there that they're interested, we can get them all of the specifics from
and
there.
And the address for Washtenaw College is? Washtenaw Community College is?
4800. That's 4800 East Huron Drive, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And what time on Thursday and Saturday are the training sessions?
On Thursday, it's 6:30 p.m., mm-hmm. and on Saturday, it's 5:30.
5:30 on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds terrific. So even if you're a non-biker like me, they can find a job for you, and we'll be able to hopefully have a great day on Sunday. Everybody will be there. The kids will be there, and it's something I'm really looking forward to. I had it on my calendar from last year till this year. It was so meaningful. So thank you so much for coming in to speak to us and Impact.
And thank you.
Everybody have a great ride.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
All right.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn. Good afternoon. This is Betty L. Daniels, and you are listening to a pre-recorded program of Impact.
Who's Rex Burkett?
What the heck? My friend?
What makes Rex your favorite football player?
That he cares about me. When I was in the hospital, Rex gave me a call. He was at the game, he was thinking of me, and then he scored a touchdown.
Rex is on the speakerphone. He tells Jack he helped inspire a comeback against Ohio State.
That voice in your head was telling me, hey, Jack would, you know, keep fighting, so I gotta keep fighting too.
Then it goes to Burkett. It's a save inside the 10! Touchdown!
Burkhead's 2 fourth quarter touchdowns help lead the largest comeback in Nebraska football history.
Hi, I'm Lyle Levitt. As a motorcyclist, I support Ride for Kids to help children like Ava, Caitlin, and Javier fight one of the deadliest forms of childhood cancer. Nationwide, more than 28,000 boys and girls are affected by a brain tumor. The Ride for Kids raises awareness and funds for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation.
We saw a sign for the Ride for Kids in our community, Michigan, at the cancer center where Andrew was being treated. And on the flyer, it had a picture of a really beautiful motorcycle and specifically said pediatric brain tumor. And I knew in that moment that that was meant for us. When we got to our first Ride for Kids event, the task leaders welcomed us with absolutely open arms.
My name is Amanda Witzig, and I'm a 2-time brain tumor survivor. So my dad took me to my first event, just me and him, and I just loved it. My mom said I came home beaming. Hard to put into words how great it is to see so many people who don't even know you come and just talk to you, smile at you, do so many nice things for you.
She had the worst year of her life, but then Ride for Kids came into her life the same year.
You feel so alone when you get the diagnosis and when you're dealing with the treatment and when you're driving back and forth to the hospital and all the appointments and the visits. And, you know, when you go to one of these rides, I mean, you're there with other kids with issues, with tumors, with cancer. So it's a chance to share your experiences with them. And it's a real comforting feeling to be around such a large community of people that all care about you and your family and what you're going through.
The PVTF has been instrumental in supporting pediatric brain tumor research, and I think that from my own research and then other researchers at Duke and throughout the world, I think we've advanced much further due to the support of the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. This new information is really helping us hone down on therapies that are more likely to be effective.
For other pediatric brain tumor families that we've met, we strongly encourage them to attend the ride. What we say to them is that it's a place where you can celebrate you, and you can celebrate your child, and you can celebrate your family with other people who are there for the right reasons. And that it's a great opportunity, honestly, just to have a good time. It's a fun, easygoing environment where you know at the end of the day, great good is being done.
And it's hard to put into words how amazing the organization is and just how they do so much work to help kids with brain tumors, so much work for research, just trying to find some ways to help make our lives better.
Please join the Ride for Kids in your area to cure the kids. Rev it up today at rideforkids.org.
Come ride with us.
There are so few new treatments out there for pediatric brain cancer.
The goal here really is to keep him alive long enough until something better comes along.
His regimen, I mean, it's been around for almost 30 years.
So, you know, you start asking the next question, you know, how close are we to something better coming along? That was, you know, really when my wife and I decided, you know, we need to become a part of the treatment plan, not just for Jack, but you know, thousands of other children affected by pediatric brain cancer. When it comes to starting the Team Jack Foundation, I think that we felt like we were maybe in the best position to use Jack's platform and some of the blessings that he's had in his life. You know, we want the Team Jack Foundation to be something that is, you know, sustainable long term. Jack is not going to score a 69-yard touchdown every year. He's not going to win an SB every year. And it's not about that. And that's why we've taken the media opportunities that we've had and always try to spin it and talk about the disease. Because that, at the end of the day, is what this is all about. It's what Team Jack's all about. It's what my wife and I are all about. And that's truly what our mission and our purpose is with the Team Jack Foundation. In January of 2013, my wife and I and Jack, along with Scott Shirley from Uplifting Athletes and Christine Bork from CureSearch, as a team, presented a check to Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, Harvard Medical School, for $275,000. This check represented the work of our family in terms of fall 2012 t-shirt sales. It represented countless contributions from Nebraskans and South Dakotans and people in the Midwest. It also represented, you know, bake sales and other fundraisers. And it also represented a very generous contribution from a Nebraska-based business. That research project has, I think, been instrumental in helping set up other research projects.
With this seed money and with the work that they are doing, is going to lead now to being able to get funding from the National Institutes of Health or the National Cancer Institute. So Team Jack has been wonderful, and we are very grateful to them, but it shows what the value of foundations like Team Jack is that they help bring the researchers on the ground level to the top level so that we can then move on to bigger funding.
Small family foundations like Team Jack, teaming up and working with other small family foundations all across the country, are what, at the end of the day, ultimately is driving childhood brain cancer research.
There are some extremely innovative things on the make here from Dr. Gumnerova that personally I think are something that's going to change the face of pediatric brain cancer. If you go in there with the little device that she's going to talk about more, and you can decide if something is cancer versus not cancer and get rid of it and get that crap out of there, you know, it changes the outlook on things tremendously.
The device would mean is that hopefully we would be able to remove tumors in a more safe manner so that we know that we're not going to go and venture into parts of the brain that are important and hopefully avoid neurologic deficits such as weakness or paralysis when you inadvertently go into those areas. The Team Jack Foundation, though, has had a tremendous impact in that we have been able to hire some postdocs, and two of our researchers are able to get funding for their projects, and we're hoping that these projects are going to have significant impact. One of them is going to have global impact, not just for neurosurgical procedures, but for other surgical procedures. So yes, it has made a great impact.
The thing that excites us the most about this research project is that it's translational. It helps all children with all types of brain cancer, it helps adults with adult brain cancer, and eventually, it's going to help all patients of any type of cancer.
Show me what you got.
I've known Jack since he's been 2 years old, and I see Jack where he's at now, and oh my God, you know, it's awesome. And you know why he's doing awesome is because he had an excellent surgeon that got most of his tumor out, stopped his seizures. He's not on medicine outside of his chemotherapy, and he's doing fantastic, and we hope that he lives a long, long life, and that's the goal for all these kids.
And so we feel like it's incumbent upon us, especially given the blessings that we've had in our life, to increase, you know, the platform for the disease, to just work as hard as we can so that we can make as much money as we can as fast as we can and get this money into the hands of the best researchers in the world.
Jack is wonderful. I have no words to say anything but wonderful. He is a delightful patient. When I first met him, he obviously had a brain tumor and was having seizures. And with the entire team here, he is now, you would never know that he has a brain tumor. He has no more seizures. It was very heartwarming because he is such a great representative of what we can do for children with brain cancer.
up, stand up, stand up. Won't you stand up, you girls and boys? Won't you stand up?
Thank you for listening to Impact on this fourth Tuesday. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College, its staff, or students. Be sure to listen to our next Impact show on the next fourth Tuesday. This is WHFR Dearborn.
I'm Bob Allison, and this is WHFR.FM, your home for over 50 hours of great classical music every week.
WHFR, the station making waves, proudly presents The Best of Broadway, a program featuring the best of American musical theater. Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Joe, your host. We've taken care of your tickets. Now let me escort you through 2 hours of enjoyment of The Best of Broadway.